Let's get legal here on 720 WGN, all powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. Dahlia Saper joins us now. Dahlia, so good to chat with you.
Thanks for having me on your show, John.
You do so much, but a lot of what you cover and know a lot about is social media law. And before we get into the nitty gritty of specifics, I just want to ask, that has got to be a really fascinating, fun, interesting field in that, I mean, law is probably catching up with all the changes. I mean, a lot of this law probably isn't even all that written down yet, right? Like, we're learning as we go.
Totally. Well, especially when I started the firm back in 2005, I was the most cutting edge, one of the most, in that I knew what Facebook was, and I was actually using these new social media platforms. I had a Twitter account. I'd abandoned Friendster and started Facebook. So I was a young lawyer. And so I was in the thick of it, not because I was studying it as any sort of an academic or a lawyer, but because I was using those platforms. And from that, my firm really evolved. And as a result, I was getting the cases that implicated or involved some sort of social media issue. What does that really mean? Well, it's a trademark dispute that involves a social media handle. You know, you've got my username on Facebook or pick whatever, Instagram, and I can't use it. It involved domain name disputes. It involved advertising, new issue is this concept of influencers and they're being paid or incentivized to promote a certain product, and you as the consumer don't know if they got free diapers for, you know, a year to post about it or if it's their genuine opinion. But one of the more interesting areas, all of it's interesting, but I also deal with a lot of frantic people calling saying, my best friend's sister's ex-husband said that I blah, blah, blah on Twitter and on Facebook. And this other guy made a video about me and that's not nice. And I want to sue Facebook and I want to sue Twitter and I want to sue everybody.
Yeah. Well, like, and that's this interesting, I don't know, like, we have First Amendment law, right? And it's a backbone of who we are as a country. And so many high court decisions have been written about it. But then applying that to the wide world of digital content has got to be fascinating. I know it's really impossible for you to give us, like, black and white, what is allowed, what isn't allowed. But I guess if I'm someone that is going to, let's say I'm the person that's going to defame someone else, I would never do that. But let's say someone is going to post something mean about someone else. What sort of limitations are there to that?
Yeah, well, I will say that the social media platform adds context. When I first litigated these cases, I have to explain that a post as a comment to a Facebook post, you know, a second comment, isn't as credible as maybe the CNN writing something on their blog.
Right.
So the definition of blog is something, back then blog was a weblog.
Right.
But to answer your question more specifically, you're entitled to have an opinion, so long as that opinion is not making a false statement that is verifiably false. Meaning,
right,
if I say, I think Dahlia is a jerk, well, that's
That's not true.
It's hard to say. Whereas something verified would be Dahlia has purple hair.
Uh-huh.
And so everyone can look at my hair and say, no, she has dark brown hair, black hair. So this concept of defamation per se is if it's not an accusation that's false about my hair color, it's an accusation about whether or not I can do my job, whether or not I committed a crime, whether or not I have a loathsome communicable disease, or whether or not I'm unchaste. Those are the four broad categories of what we call defamation per se. Accusing someone of being a whore or of stealing money from their employer is so bad inherently that you don't need to go to court and say, I lost X amount of money. Your damages are presumed, and you know, you talk about what that dollar amount looks like versus having to state specifically, this is my damage.
It's fascinating. I know a lot of this is between people that are everyday Americans or beyond that who are talking and maybe defaming the debate. But you know, when we have big presidential elections or big things, average Joe, if they're going to insult the president or the former president, are there still the protections that exist for libel? And at least is how I understand it, is that that public figure can't sue for defamation because, hey, they've got a bully pulpit they can use on their own, too.
Totally. So if you're commenting on matters of public concern or about a public figure, then the burden on the public figure in bringing a case against you is much higher. They have to show that you acted with malice. Really, it's like you went out of your way to make this statement that you knew was false. And so it's a much, much higher burden. And you see cases where we fight about, is this person actually a public figure, or are they a limited purpose public figure? They might be a public figure about when they're, the soccer coach, and you're talking about their, what they're doing as a soccer coach. But right. As soon as you talk about something outside of that world, then that's not fair game.
Yeah, interesting. Obviously the First Amendment starts with these pesky five words that people seem to forget sometimes, that Congress shall make no law. That's an important distinction to make with the rest of it that goes on. And obviously freedom of the press is something that is inherent in our First Amendment. But I think you kind of alluded to this when you mentioned blogs. What is press? What isn't press? Yeah. Is that an evolving world now too?
Totally. So it used to be that you knew what the press was. It was the newspaper. There was journalists and there was credentializing and, there was fact checking. And of course, we know fake news now is the new buzzword. And that's also why we've got these laws, even in the marketing and not free speech space, where people are consuming content in so many new ways. It's not just from the reputable newspaper or media outlet. Anybody can be the source of news. And so therefore, you have to spend a lot of time explaining to Judge XYZ, is this in the context of this statement, in this issue, was this platform that issued this statement or reported on this? Is it a super far left or far right outlet that no one really believes everything they say? Well, then right. Maybe the statement is less damaging. Is it, like I said, a more mainstream media outlet? That's probably more damaging.
Yeah, that's so hard because it's like, man, there are these left-wing, right-wing news outlets. And it's like, well, man, people would know. The average person would know this is satire or this correct. Is not true. Yeah, but those lines, boy, they are blurred as ever right now.
I do a lot of counseling where I convince people not to file a lawsuit. And what I say is it's going to cost a lot of money. It's going to take a lot of time. And the outcome is so uncertain. The better thing to do is to share your, the free flow of information. Someone says X and it's not true. Get all your friends and family to post in that same forum and refute that statement. You're going to get a lot more bang for your buck and faster results doing that than pursuing a lawsuit. Now,
a lawyer telling me not to do a lawsuit.
Right.
I knew I liked you, Dahlia.
Sometimes you have to file the lawsuit. Well, right. When you're the university professor and an ex-student is mad that you gave him a bad grade, so she posts on don'tdatehim.com. There's all sorts of posts like that and accuses him of having a bad sexually transmitted disease. Ooh. And that you share grades and jeopardize your tenure. Well, then that might be a good case. But right. When your friends, ex-husbands, whatever, boyfriend, whatever, wrote something you don't like, probably not a good case.
Well, I this is just keeps on coming up. I imagine, obviously most of these cases are handled in the local level, but we had the Supreme Court case just a couple weeks ago that was rendered in favor of the former teenager at the Pennsylvania high school who did something on Snapchat. I imagine that this is just the beginning of us, of some of our most esteemed justices learning what Snapchat, TikTok, and all that are.
Well, sure. And then, of course, that case, that's the cheerleader case where a cheerleader, a sophomore, I forget what, I think she was a cheerleader, where she just didn't get on the team and went to Snapchat and wrote F this, F cheer. And that question is, when can you regulate speech? Can the school kick her out and take recourse for something she did on social media outside of school hours? Does it disrupt school? So it permeates in every aspect of our lives, whether it's work or school or personal.
Yeah.
Be careful what can be said about you on the internet.
Well, that's a good lesson and a great place to wrap this up. Dahlia, I really enjoyed this conversation. I hope we can have it again because I clearly have a scattershot of questions about this realm, okay?
I'm happy to be back anytime.
Oh, from Saper Law Offices. She does great work. Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. More after this on WGN.